Welcome to a new year on the Issue Is podcast. And with that new year, a bit of a new voice for me, Alex Michelson. Apparently, I relaxed too hard during my time away. And you can see I sound a little sick. I think I'm on the back end of it. Should sound better by next week, but I hope you can bear with me this week as we get through it. Part of what I've been working really hard on, though, is a big announcement that we made this week that we will be hosting the first televised debate in the U.S. Senate race in California. We're teaming up with our friends from Politico. My co-moderator is going to be Melanie Mason. We're also teaming up with the USC Dornsife Center for the Political Future. We're going to be hosting it on the USC campus at Bovard Auditorium. Of course, that center run by our friend Bob Schrum. The debate is going to be on January 22nd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. The top four polling candidates were invited and have all accepted the invitation. They are Adam Schiff, Democratic congressman, Steve Garvey, the baseball legend, a Republican, Katie Porter, and Barbara Lee, both Democratic congresswomen. This will be the first time they've all been on stage together. This event is done in partnership with the California Environmental Voters. It will also be airing live on the radio on KFI AM 640 and other iHeart stations, and hopefully other Issue Is stations, among them KTVU in the Bay Area. So we're excited. This is a big deal. It's going to be one of the biggest moments of this campaign, which is one of the closest, most expensive, most important Senate races California has had in decades. We've invited this week onto the Issue Is my partners in all this to talk about it. Melanie Mason, my co-moderator, and Bob Schrum, the director of the USC Center for the Political Future. And this week, we really kind of did two separate shows, and so we wanted to do two separate podcasts. We also have a long conversation with Chris Matthews about national politics. That's a separate podcast. We hope you'll also listen to that. We're releasing them both at the same time for a real deep dive with Chris. But this is focusing more on the California issues. So here's my conversation with Melanie and with Bob. Melanie, why does this debate matter?
Well, you know, you and I have been following this campaign for a year now, but the truth is that the action starts now, and it's between now and the next month before ballots first go out, and it really feels like we're finally get to see this campaign action that I think we've all been eagerly waiting. Seeing all of these top candidates on the stage engaging with each other, I think really is going to sort of set this race into motion.
And the biggest, most expensive, most competitive race California's seen in 30 years.
Well, I was going to say, look, in 1986, when Alan Cranston was running for re-election against Ed Schau, the two campaigns, and I was involved in the Cranston campaign, spent about $25 million. And people thought that was an absolutely astounding sum of money. Right now, cash on hand, we have a candidate in this race who has $35 million. And the notoriety of having been someone who really took on Donald Trump, which will help him in the California primary.
But this is unusual in California to have a race that is this important that could potentially be this close, right?
Yeah. And the question out, you know, look, Garvey, that Steve Garvey in this debate really wants to establish himself as the Republican candidate, because the question coming out of the primary is going to be whether we're going to have two Democrats running against each other or whether we're going to have a Democrat and a Republican.
So the qualifying criteria to get into this debate we came up with was the top four finishers in this recent Politico Morning Consult poll. You can see it here. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff out ahead with Republican baseball legend Steve Garvey, bunched up with Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter and Barbara Lee in a tight matchup for second place. Also registering support in our poll, Republicans James Bradley and Eric Early, Democratic former journalist Christina Pascucci, and Republican Denise Gray Pandol. So let's go through each candidate one by one that made the stage and talk about where they go from here. Let's start with Adam Schiff, who right now is leading in the polls, leading in endorsements, and leading in fundraising. This is information we first reported this week. Schiff's campaign says he's raised $6.3 million in quarter four. That includes some interest. They report 93,000 unique donors, an amazing $35 million cash on hand. We don't have the fundraising numbers yet from the other campaigns. Bob, as somebody who ran campaigns, what can you do with $35 million cash on hand?
You can blanket the television advertising, the airwaves, and you can really get your message out. Now, Schiff starts with, they each have certain advantages, but Schiff's advantage is that he was so prominent in going after Donald Trump when he was president that he got very well known to the Democratic electorate. So he's going to use that, I would predict, in his television ads. Katie Porter's distinctive, too, with the whiteboard. People have seen it, and they'll see more of it in her ads. Barbara Lee really needs to have the kind of television reach that, you know, at least approximates what these folks can do. And her biggest problem right now, I think, is to raise more and more money because she's not known outside the Bay Area. Steve Garvey's a blank slate.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know. I mean, we all, you know, I used to cheer for him and the Dodgers, but that's about what I know about him.
Schiff, what's he looking for with this debate?
Well, I think that for him, it is to establish, can he make this debate about him versus Steve Garvey? Because since we have seen Schiff leading in the polls, we can probably assume that he's well positioned to place in these top two. And what he really wants to do is run against a Republican in the fall. Because California is such a blue state, it's much less competitive if he's running against a Republican. So if he can make this debate about him versus Garvey, and by extension, him versus Trump, which plays into his main message, allows him to sort of maybe dismiss these other Democrats who could give him a tighter run for his money if he ran against them in November.
Well, let's talk now about Steve Garvey. We've never seen him on a debate stage before. He's never done something like this before. He's got the challenge of trying to consolidate the Republican base while also not alienating folks who may be in the middle.
Well, that's why I think it's smart of him to be on that debate stage. Because if he hadn't been and some other Republican had been, it would have opened up the possibility that he'd get a Republican competitor. Right now, I think it's going to be very hard for any other Republican but Steve Garvey to get into the general election. And it's unlikely if he gets in that he'll win, given the nature of California. You're absolutely right about that. By the way, the other thing I think is Adam Schiff, because he's got two women on that stage with him, while he wants to make this about him and Garvey, he's going to have to be respectful of them. He's going to have to be very careful in how he deals with them.
Well, let's talk about one of those women right now, Katie Porter, who coming into this before Garvey's recent rise seemed like she was neck and neck with Adam Schiff. What's the challenge for her?
Well, I think that there does seem to be a little bit of a slowing in the momentum for polls for her. But I think that this could be a huge breakout moment for Porter. She is very good in debates. She's very quick on her feet. She's very good at harnessing these viral moments like we've seen with the whiteboard, as you mentioned. And so I think that if she is able to deliver some crisp answers, maybe put some of her fellow Democrats on the spot, that could sort of reignite that interest in her, remind people why she's become such a national phenomenon in such a short period of time.
What would your advice be to her?
That she needs to go in there and she needs to go in there with a message. Needs to be a tight message. It just can't be about the medium, the whiteboard. It has to be why me and not the others. And she has to do it in a respectful way, too. Democrats are not going to necessarily take very kindly if one of those Democratic candidates goes in there with an axe and goes after another Democrat. So you got to thread the needle.
Barbara Lee's had a pretty clear message when it comes to, I'm anti-war. And right. We've had this Israel-Hamas situation. She's been very pro-ceasefire, which has helped her with some young folks and progressives on the Democratic side.
Well, that's how she's going to position herself in the debate. This goes back 20 years. I mean, she was opposed to one of the few people who were opposed, even among those who were against, for example, invading Iraq. She was opposed to going after Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan by authorizing the use of force there. So that's going to be her consistent message. But
she would say she thought it was a blank check. She wasn't opposed to going against him.
What her opponents are going to say is the other. What were we supposed to do after 9/11?
Right.
Did you propose an alternative? But I think it is a positioning that has some promise. Don't forget, Bernie Sanders won the California presidential primary in 2020.
And 2016.
Yeah, and 2016. Yep. But 2020, he won it when it was absolutely clear that Joe Biden was already the nominee.
Your thoughts on Barbara Lee?
Well, I think that the Bernie Sanders comparison is an apt one because the truth is that she needs those Bernie Sanders voters to come out on March 5th and in the run-up to it to vote for her. And I think that the Israel-Hamas war has offered her this opportunity to reinforce this anti-war message that she has had, and it does align her with the progressive base of the party, with younger voters, with voters of color. What the problem for her, though, is that those are voters that are maybe less likely to be showing up in the primary, and so she has to figure out how to motivate these voters, particularly without a competitive presidential primary on the Democratic side. So she might be sort of aligned with them ideologically, but unless she can really motivate them to vote, that's going to be a problem for her.
Got to get out and vote. All right, so we are at the start of a new year. Obviously, the Senate race is going to be a big issue this year, but I want to ask each of you, what do you think is the other biggest issue in California politics in 2024 that you're most interested in?
The House. California House races, there are a handful of very competitive House races that could very well determine the balance of power in Washington, who controls the House of Representatives. So I'll be watching these key races in Orange County, in the Central Valley, and even the suburbs of Los Angeles that could really determine who holds the Speaker's gavel next year.
Although it won't be a Californian holding the Speaker's gavel anymore, which was, of course, what we had in the last few years. Bob.
I agree with that, but I also think that the big issue that's on the mind of so many voters here is affordability. Mm-hmm. Can I afford to live in California? Are the taxes too high? How am I going to pay the rent? Now, those are not issues, for example, necessarily for the Senate race, but they're issues people are concerned about, and they're going to want to hear folks speak about it. Housing affordability is one, or the lack of housing affordability, is one of the things that has helped to increase homelessness in this state.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm looking for this year is artificial intelligence becomes the big issue. How is California regulated? Silicon Valley, this is where a lot of this stuff is happening. And if we set the standard, could that be then the standard for the rest of the country or the rest of the world? It'd be interesting to follow that. Bob, Melanie, we're so excited to work with you on this. We're spending a lot of time together in the next few weeks. Our thanks to Melanie and to Bob, and our thanks to you. A reminder that we released a second podcast this week, a deep dive conversation on national politics with Chris Matthews. He also talks about his old boss, Jimmy Carter, in a very personal and interesting way. And so I hope you'll take time to listen to that as well. And next week on the show, Peter Hamby will be with us, and likely Katie Porter as well. I hope you'll listen next week for The Issue Is. In the meantime, I'm Alex Michelson. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for being with us. Like us, rate us, send us notes in social media, and send us debate questions. kttvdebate@fox.com is the site where you can send us questions. kttvdebate@fox.com. Thanks so much. Have a great week.